This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You might be seated. I have not come to bring peace. Are pretty strange words to be hearing from the Prince of Peace. And when first hearing the words of Jesus, they might seem jarring and disturbing at first, but I think we all kind of get it. I mean, we understand. When you think of the three topics that you're never supposed to bring up around the dinner table, religion is the one at the top of the pile. And we understand why is we all have very strong core beliefs and values that when sharing with each other, we know that there's going to be disagreement. We know that there's going to be division. And especially when thinking about topics around spirituality, when thinking of topics about the kingdom of God, I can't think of any bigger conversation than I most often have with Sunday school teachers about teaching a particular topic in particular classes at times, and just knowing that as soon as they crack open that chapter of the Bible or that particular study, that there's going to be division, that there's going to be disagreements, and learning how to navigate that so this class doesn't fall apart, but rather somehow comes back together. So we understand the inherent divisive nature of religion and faith when brought up in certain circumstances. But this particular scripture, it kind of hit me in a unique way this week. And you might recognize the tension even in the sermon titles this week. The sermon title that is printed in your bulletin and we put on the reader board is "A Bad Day is a Pop Quiz for Faith." And what that was going to be was me avoiding the first part of the reading and focusing on the last part. It's a lot easier to talk about weather patterns than it is about divisions. But alas, I did what I was supposed to do and kind of focused more on the first part. And so a better sermon title for today might be Extra Credit, The Division Disagreement. Because divisions and disagreements, they pop up in every faithful relationship. I know for my family, the two biggest fights that I ever had with my parents dealt with religion, dealt with faith. And it came at a time in my life when I was in high school and I had just really started going to church and going to youth group. And I went to a weekend rally and I went down and got saved in an altar call and had a prayer with my youth pastor. And over the next couple weeks, started reading more about my Bible and started learning everything that I could and decided to come home and start telling my parents what's what. And apparently me and my two-week-old faith and my brand-new Bible just had all of this religion thing all figured out, right? I had all the answers. And until my mother had a conversation that kind of centered around, boy, you don't know a thing about what you're talking about. And that conversation stuck with me about finding myself at odds and at divisions. But really, it wasn't so much that I was at odds or had a division between me and my parents so much as I was not yet at peace about what was going on inside of my life and the things that God was still doing and working out and addressing the areas of my life that I had been avoiding and were so difficult to talk about. Through the month of August, we're preaching through this sermon series called Extra Credit. And what we're doing is exactly like what we talked about here, is we're taking scriptures that at first might seem difficult, and we're not exactly sure how to wrap our minds around them or how to get a handle on them. And so we're kind of, instead of closing the book and putting them on the shelf and hoping that we'll do okay without them, we're taking these lessons and kind of diving down a little bit deeper in each and every one of them to find out that some of these tough lessons, some of these hard lessons that we sometimes want to avoid really hold the key in those extra points that we need to take our faith to that next level. And so over the last several weeks, you've heard sermons about wealth, you've heard sermons about worry, and today you hear a sermon about divisions. And this sermon kind of comes at a very unique part. We call it the travel narrative in the Gospel of Luke. As Jesus is kind of moving from town to town, from synagogue to synagogue, moving towards Jerusalem. And he's kind of going through these cities and these towns, and he's leaving these teachings wherever he is. And it's kind of unique that if you follow this kind of teaching narrative through chapters 11 and 12 and 13, in a way, it almost seems like Jesus is getting more grumpy the further we go. To where last week he's talking about don't worry, but this week he's talking about I'm coming with fire. I'm coming to divide household against household. We're getting this really intense language and imagery that Jesus is getting. But I think there's something significant that's going on in these lessons as well. I think there's something deeper about what it means for these divisions of faith, these divisions of purpose, to kind of pop up in our midst. And in a lot of ways, I don't think there's any biblical scholar that would say that these are Jesus's most popular sermons. Most pastors and most preachers kind of did what I wanted to do at the beginning and say, well, let's just avoid the tough part and just kind of focus on the last couple verses, right? They might not be his most popular, but they could be Jesus's most honest sermons. I did not come in peace, but to bring division. In some ways, that might seem jarring of our image of Jesus. That language might seem inconsistent with what Jesus has said in other parts of the gospel. But the reality is Jesus' whole ministry is pointing to these decisions of commitment and faith that we make that put us at odds with the kingdom of God. Even when Jesus was younger, when just after he was born, he was dedicated in the temple. As Mary brought Jesus into the square, there was a man named Simeon. And Simeon had been promised by God that he would lay physical eyes on the Messiah, on the chosen one of God. And as they brought the child Jesus into the courtyard, Simeon saw him and came up to Mary, and he said to her, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." That's a pretty intense prophecy to pray over Jesus. And yet we see that it comes true time and time again. That as this began his ministry, where we find him in this travel narrative, is as he's preaching these sermons about wealth, about worry, about division, about master versus servant relationships, How many people do you think are leaving these sermons at peace in their hearts? Jesus is troubling the waters, and he is stirring up this complacency that we sometimes have in our faith. Because the truth of this teaching is the kingdom of God leads to division. But the good news is that division can lead us to peace. The entire ministry of Jesus in this travel narrative is pointing him to one place. It is pointing him to Jerusalem. It is pointing to him to the culmination of all the division and all the fighting and all the conflict of that region and that religious nature at the time. And ultimately, the argument and the division over who owns the interpretation of the Word of God will lead to Jesus being crucified and killed on a cross on a hill for everyone to see. But that moment, that struggle, that fight, that division is what leads us to see the greatest expression of God's love and care and salvation in this world with the resurrection of Jesus, and showing that the struggle is the price and the cost that we must walk through in order to understand the peace that can possibly come. Jesus is in the division business. Each one of us that has struggled or wrestled with our faith and what areas of our lives need to be pared away have understood the division that the kingdom of God can bring in our lives. But the reason that Jesus is in the division business is because we have the wrong idea about peace. For most of us, peace means just no conflict. It means avoidance. Avoidance of tough conversations, avoidance of tough teachings, avoidance of those moments that we would rather decide that we don't want to deal with at this moment. And as long as there is not a raging conflict going on in front of us at that moment, then we say that we are at peace. But how many of us have had those moments in relationships with spouses, with kids, with friends or coworkers, that the fighting has come to a point where nobody else has anything left to say, and so you just exist in silence? And is that really peace? Peace only comes through the struggle, through the hardship, of seeing those avenues, those divisions that we've built up between other people, and then rather deciding as if we own the truth of that, working through those tough conversations and those tough moments to see the face and the Spirit of God in them as well. And seeing that God has a purpose, that rather than my high school self who insisted that I had the corner on God's truth, allowed me to realize that I still had so much to learn. Of course, people are going to oppose us in this life. Of course, people are going to disagree with you. Of course, people are going to think that we're wrong, and we're going to think that we're right, and we're always going to disagree and divide over those truths. But the truth of the matter is there is no opposition and there is no force that can push against us or divide us by any other person in this life more than we will do ourselves in our own faith. The real war that we are fighting is the war that's going on inside of us. The divisions that we place between ourselves and God. Because when I say Jesus is in the division business, the entire purpose and ministry and gospel of Jesus Christ is to divide us from sin and selfishness in our life, and to divide us from those things that keep us out of a true relationship with God and a true relationship with others as well. So when Jesus says that he comes with fire, We take that as to mean he is coming to consume everything that is evil and unright in this world. But the reality is when Jesus came with fire, he came with the Holy Spirit, and he erased all the divisions and all the barriers and all the languages and all the moments that we would place between ourselves and others and God, and created a moment to see in each other the face, the ministry, the potential, the power of the kingdom of God. And the only thing that gets in the way of the Holy Spirit in this life is ourselves. Those moments and those spaces that are too hard for us to deal with, and so we separate them off. And so that's the temptation in our lives, to compartmentalize, to order, to create spaces, to divide our life according to what's going well and what's not going so well. But the truth of the matter is compartmentalizing does not work. If you have a fight at home, you're going to feel that fight when you're at work. And if you're arguing with somebody online, you're going to be feeling that argument when you're stuck in rush hour traffic as well. That stress, that anger, that frustration. If there's one part of our lives that we feel is at peace, you better believe those parts that are not at peace are going to bleed into that, and we're going to feel it at the most inopportune times that we possibly can. My staff knows that when my desk is a mess, my mind is a mess. And it might not be the best time to come up and give me a new project or an idea for them to work on. But I have to realize, and I think we all have to realize, that there is not a space in our lives that we can just compartmentalize and say, this part is a mess, and so I'm going to put it off to the side and not worry about it anymore. That is not truly peace. Peace is the rule in the life of God that passes all of our understanding. It is the peace that knows when our relationships are a mess, that when this world is a mess, that we still have a place to come before God and to say, I do not have any of this figured out yet. But what I do want to do is to come and to follow you. And when we come and we follow God, we realize is that there are pieces and parts of our lives that cannot come with us. There is selfishness, there is sin, there is fear, there is pain that has to be dealt with before we can move forward and truly experience the freedom, the peace that God promises. And so if we're afraid of division in our faith, then we're afraid of being free, of realizing that God can come into every space and every moment in our lives and tell us that he loves us. There are behaviors and attitudes that we carry with us, that we have insisted have become so much of our personality that we're so afraid of losing them. But the truth is those are the very things that are holding us back from experiencing the true grace and the mercy and the kingdom of God. And yet, the one who brings division is ultimately the one who delivers us in peace. And a peace that is unlike any other, and a peace that can set us free and transform this world. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks that you do not leave us as you found us. In helping us to realize that there are moments and spaces and areas of our lives that we have not been able to turn over to you. Lord, there are parts of our personality. Lord, there are moments to where we are weak. There are all these times to when we feel like we are not yet there, that we do not yet feel your peace. But Lord, like Simeon said, that it's the inner thoughts of many that will be revealed, and that you will be the sword that pierces our own soul too. Help us to exercise, help us to cut out, help us to burn away those parts of our lives that are dividing us from you. And in knowing that if we can build our relationship with you, that our peace, that our love, that our ministry with this world will truly be empowered with a fire that does not destroy, but a fire that brings us together as your children and as your witness and as your disciples in this world. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.